Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 16th, 2015, which makes it iOS 9 launch day. With me today, Kelly Gaumont. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going well, Jeff. Happy iOS 9 day.
Yeah, I feel like I should have dressed up a little bit more. Yeah. Put pants on or something.
It's not nearly as special as occasion as the one we're having next week. So I guess you can probably get away with it this time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to overdo it today. Speaking of overdoing it, John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I just beamed in.
Again, you and the Vulcan Science Academy, you're like really into
it. Yeah, that was a tough class yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Harry's, the Razor Company, which is totally awesome. Before we talk about them, though, what we need to talk about is iOS 9, because by the time you are listening to this, iOS 9 is out. And
yay!
Hopefully your install went really well, as it should. So, iOS 9... It's available for the iPhone 4S and newer, the iPad Mini 2 and newer.
I believe so.
The iPad 2 and newer.
It's the 2, yeah.
And the 4th and 5th generation iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty long list of devices right there. That's really impressive.
Yeah, Brian wrote a really good article yesterday about how to make sure when you do your backup before you upgrade that you do an encrypted backup, because otherwise you will lose your login information and your health data. That was a cute article.
The thing with encrypted backup is that there's so much stuff, at least for me, that I forget about, that I have to enter a password into, or that is some sort of setting that doesn't get saved unless you use the encrypted backups. So like all the Wi-Fi networks that you have, you know, stored in your phone that you just sort of join automatically when you go places, all of those will vanish if you don't have an encrypted backup. Anything that requires a password, also all of your health data. There's another big chunk of stuff that I'm not remembering right now, but there's something else like, you know, all of your game center progress or something. Like, there's something.
I lost track of that list. So yesterday, it was a shock to me how long the list had grown.
Yeah, because it used to be like a little series of aggravations. Like, oh yeah, I didn't add that. Now I have to go enter that password, or I have to go set this up again, or I'm back at level one in this game from level two. And now it's even a bigger deal because iOS has gotten more complex and it's gotten longer and longer. The thing I will tell you, if you are looking at iOS 9 and you have maybe an iPad 2 or 3, or you have is it the 4S, I think? That it will run on 4S and later. You may want to stop and think about if you really want to go to iOS 9. You may want to, but you may want to wait a few days, because there are going to be people who are going to do this and report back their findings. And so sometimes it's a good idea if there's something that you need that only runs on iOS 9, that's fine. But remember that if you have an older device, that a lot of the new features that have been shown to you that are really fantastic in iOS 9 don't work on the thing that you have, because some of that stuff needs more hardware than you've got. And so like turn-by-turn instructions are not available on everything. That's one of the ones that I know. I think
Split view is not available on
Split view is basically not available on anything.
Except an iPad Air 2 and an iPad Pro, right?
Yeah.
And I think iPad Mini 4.
Yes.
Air 2 and Mini 4, because they're the same insides. So you just may want to think about it. You may want to wait like a day or two. I'm not saying don't ever do it, but you may want to wait a day or two, see what people report back, and then determine whether or not it's the thing that you want to do. You may be at a juncture where an iPad Air 2, because it's not the latest and greatest as of next week, Maybe you decide you want to pull the trigger on upgrading to something else, and you know that's just something that you may want to consider. So, if you have an older device, you know, and you're looking at getting all these great new features out of iOS 9, some of that stuff is never coming to you, and not everyone is always clear on that. So I just want to make sure that we get that out there as much as we can.
You know, I was thinking about the password for the encrypted backup.
Yeah,
I'm going to make that password the same as my login password for that account, so that if I ever forget it, I just, you know, when I log on, then I know what my password is for the encrypted backup. It's the same.
Yeah.
Well, that's clever. Of course, that goes against what 1Password people have always told me, which is never use the same password twice.
Right.
Yeah, but it's on that same machine, which is...
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, physical access is the thing that you need to worry about. If somebody walks off with your computer,
The encrypted backup, we've been talking about this, but we haven't told people exactly what this is. So there's two ways to back up the data from your iOS device. One is encrypted, which we've mentioned, and the other is unencrypted. Mm-hmm. The big differences are... with unencrypted, anything that would be considered sensitive data is not backed up. If it's encrypted, that sensitive data is backed up. So that's things like your health data and your keychain with all of your passwords in it, things like that. So how do you tell if you are using an encrypted backup? Well, if you're backing up through iTunes to your computer, when you're looking at your backup options for your iOS device, one of the checkboxes is for encrypted backup. And just make sure that's checked, and then you're good to go. If you are backing up to iCloud, it is encrypted, period.
Automatically.
There's no option for an encrypted backup. So I'm using iCloud for all of my iOS device backups, which means by default, everything I have is encrypted, which is great. So if you're using iTunes instead, make sure you've enabled that setting. Not only does it save all that extra data, but it sure makes it a lot easier to restore later on because you're not having to go and re-enter all of your email passwords.
Right.
Plus, if someone should get their hands on your computer, they can't go and look at your backups and just get it all of your data that way.
That'll come in particularly handy on the 25th when you take your old iPhone in, which you backed up to your Mac or iCloud encrypted. Mm. And then when you get home, unless you do an iCloud restore to the new phone in the store with the your salesperson, if you elect not to do that and you come home, then when you restore your new iPhone 6S from the encrypted backup, everything will be magically there. Your health data, your passwords.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be nice.
Now, the thing I want to point out is that as you may have heard, the prices have dropped or were announced to drop significantly on iCloud pricing. So if you need to buy more space because Apple gives you 5 gigabytes for free, even though the smallest phone you can buy is 16. Yeah. you can now get a 20 gigabyte plan for 99 cents a month. So if you have a 16 gigabyte phone, for $1 a month, you can make sure that you have an encrypted offsite backup, which is one of the things that we always like to encourage, is offsite backup. And the nice thing about this is, just like John was saying, if you and this goes for any time that you take a phone into the Apple Store, potentially if you take a device into the Apple Store because you have a serious enough issue with it, there's a chance that the device you walk out with may be different. And if you walk out with a replacement device, all you have to do is kick off the iCloud syncing, and maybe the food court is near the Apple Store and you can use the Apple Store's Wi-Fi while it's restoring your backup. And now you've got at least some of your stuff on there. So, you know, until you can get home and like plug into iTunes and do the backup, which is a lot faster than the iCloud restore. In the meantime, at least when people call you, you're not confused about who it is because it's only showing you a phone number and nobody knows anybody's phone number anymore. So these are some things that you may want to look at. There's a 200 gigabyte plan. I want to say that's $3.99 a month now.
I don't remember what it costs, but I know that I'm not paying as much now as I was last month.
Right. So this is something that you may want to consider, particularly now that those prices are actually reasonable compared to other places. Dropbox will allow you to pay for storage, and Dropbox and OneDrive and Google Drive all allowed you to buy extra storage. But Apple was by far the spendiest, and now Apple is much more competitively priced. So if you have a 16 gig iPhone, for $1 a month, you can have a backup that is encrypted and offsite, and that's super fantastic. And for 200 gigabyte, I think it's $4 a month, $3.99. So, those prices are in effect now. So you can go ahead and buy that extra storage, get everything backed up to iCloud, and then once you have that really fantastic iCloud backup, then when you get your new phone, you just kick it off and then you're ready to rock.
That is convenient, but I don't use iCloud for backups because I'm just, you know, despite Apple's security and despite the fact that Apple's not been hacked, I just don't like the idea of having everything on my iPhone stored on Apple servers. I just like the idea of keeping it local and encrypted. Call me paranoid.
Well, as much as I dislike iTunes, this is the only thing I've ever had no complaints about, aside from when I first got my iPhone 3G, the speed of backing up to iTunes was leaving quite a bit to be desired. I think civilizations have risen and fallen in less time. But I think, at least overall, I still use iTunes to back up my phone just to make sure that I've got a backup all in one place every so often. I have a calendar reminder that pops up, and then I go plug my phone in and go get some lunch and come back, and it's all done and it's fine.
You can switch back and forth, right?
Yeah, you can turn iCloud backup on and off selectively. Uh-huh. My primary backup is on my computer, but if I do have to set an appointment for something because like something serious is wrong with my phone, I always do go make sure that I update that iCloud backup. And now that I'm about to go to a 64 gigabyte phone, it looks like I'm going to have to start paying for some storage just to make sure that I've got a solid iCloud backup somewhere, and it is encrypted.
Okay, before we jump into our sponsor, I'm going to tell everyone how you make sure that you have a good iCloud backup right now, or at least a current one. What you do on your iOS device is tap on Settings, tap on iCloud, and then tap on Backup. And it will show you when your last iCloud backup happened. And if it's not as recent as you would like, then tap the Backup Now option and let it do its thing. So what should happen is that your iOS device will back up automatically when it's on Wi-Fi and has a power plugged in, and you should never have to worry about it. But occasionally, like what I found this morning before I installed iOS 9, was that for whatever reason, my iPhone hadn't done an iCloud backup in 2 days. So I just forced a backup, and then I was good to go when iOS 9 hit Apple servers. So there you go.
Excellent.
Make sure you have your good backup. Yeah. Hey, did I mention we have a sponsor today?
Yay.
You did.
I just mentioned.
Let's hear more about it.
Our sponsor is Harry's, the razor company. And what they do is they make really affordable, high-quality razors, handles and disposable blades, and then they have their own shaving creams and gels, and really good stuff. And for me to be happy about this is saying a lot, because I switched to a safety razor many years ago because I was totally fed up with the poor quality and high costs of disposable razor products. And I was just done with it. And I was very skeptical about Harry's when they came out. But they were pretty insistent that I should just give it a shot, and I did, and I was very pleasantly surprised. And what I bought was the Truman kit, which is a nice handle, a couple disposable cartridge blades that plug into it, a little travel cover that goes over the blades so that you don't cut anything up in your travel kit, and then you get your shaving cream or shaving gel with it. Also, $15. That's it. And when you go to replace your blades, they're like ridiculously cheap. So cheap that my assumption was that the quality was going to suffer for it. But it turns out that the quality is far superior to anything that I've bought in a drugstore or grocery store. It's a wonderful thing. And I've actually gotten comments from listeners, women listeners, who've said that they are using Harry's razors as well. And mm-hmm. they really like them. So even though the primary marketing that you'll see on the Harry's website focuses on men, mm-hmm. these are really great for women also. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're not super girly. There's like an orange handle and a blue handle and like the regular metal handle. I'm not a fan of stuff that is like bright pink and smells like tropical breezes or whatever it is. So like, I don't know how much you guys know, but if you've seen razor commercials lately, you know that the stuff for men is sort of ridiculous. Like it's got 23 blades and it does all this stuff. And like all you have to do is think real hard about it and it shaves your face for you and it's extreme and all these things. And they do the same thing to women. Like now they come with a different scented thing around the outside of the razor and on and on and on. And it's just gotten crazy. And so it was really nice. With Harry's, it's really nice to see, like, here's your handle, here's your blade. If you want to get some stuff to, you know, some soap or some shaving cream or whatever, here you go. And so far, that's been the nicest thing about it. And one of the advantages to this is that you can standardize your whole house on one set of blades, and now you just sort of buy more of those, and everyone in the house is happy.
Oh, that's a great idea. I love this idea. Get your own colored handle, and mm-hmm. then you just have the same blades. That's a fantastic idea. Okay.
So much easier.
Another fantastic thing. That $15 that the Truman Kit costs you is only going to be $10, because what you need to do is go to their website, harrys.com, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. You're going to get $5 off your first order. So that means if you want the Truman Kit, $10 delivered right to you, the whole thing. And it is a really good kit. So hit their website, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, and pick yourself up a kit today. It's really nice. Your face is going to be really, really happy. Thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor. Okay, we only have a couple minutes left, but mm-hmm. I wanted to still talk a little bit about iOS 9. I'm curious, do you guys have a favorite feature?
John?
I totally put you on the spot. how about if I start, and this will give you guys time to think about it.
Well, I think I have one. I just don't know if it's hardware or not, if it's a hardware feature. And it's the swipe with your thumb over from the side of the screen to get to the app you were in a minute ago. I don't know if that's a 6S thing or if that's an iOS 9 thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that looks glorious.
Because I've been doing such a thing for a while, and I'm not sure where that comes in. Okay, regardless, that's a
cool thing. If you're doing it on a 6, then it's not a 6S exclusive feature.
All right, so it must not be 6S exclusive.
Okay, that's cool. That tells me it's iOS 9. It's not something you can only do on the new phone like the Force Touch. So that's the thing I'm the most excited about, because I do a lot of switching apps and I'm really looking forward to not having to hit the home button all the live long day in order to make that happen.
Oh, yes.
So that's me. John, what's your favorite? Because I think
it's going to be 3D Touch and split screen on iPad Pro.
I was going to say, if you don't say split screen, I owe Jeff a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, split screen on iPad Pro. Because you're right. We spend too much time switching between apps, and sometimes there's just two apps that you want to keep working with. That's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. But the Force Touch is even more important, the 3D Touch, because I find myself leaving an app and then going into something and getting diverted and then having to go back to where I started from. And Force Touch looks like it's going to make it a lot easier to dwell in, dig in, and then come back where you were.
Well, that's going to be that's a 6S feature. So that won't be available to people just by upgrading to iOS 9.
Right. Right.
So split screen's probably the one then for you. Because that will be available, if I'm not mistaken, to everybody. iPad
All right,
people.
Well, then anyway. I'm going to wrap us up with a feature that's not quite as sexy, but I think a lot of people are going to love it. And this is the new power management feature. So when your battery gets mm-hmm. down to 20%, you'll get a warning and you can go into the power saving mode. So you can still do all your stuff, but there's there's like the radios shut off more aggressively and your screen dims faster, and it actually makes a difference. And then you'll get another warning at 10%. And
nice.
And you can choose not to turn it on. So if you're doing something where you just really need to make sure everything's running, you just say, no, don't go into the power saving mode. And then when you plug into a charger and you get back up to 80% charged, it mm-hmm. automatically shuts off power saving and goes back into regular mode. So nice. What you end up getting out of this is better battery life. And you're going to be able to go longer each day before having to plug in to a charger.
I loved how Craig Federici.
It's not a sexy feature, but it's nice.
I loved how Craig Federici was WWDC explained it. He says the iOS knows how to throw power saving switches that you never dreamed of.
Yeah,
or something like that.
That's going to be very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it works really nice. It's a nice little feature. Okay, so we are out of time. We really need to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor today. Everyone, go over to harrys.com and use the discount code TDO and pick yourself up a razor. Their kits are really nice. I'm really impressed with their products. Like, really genuinely, honestly impressed. I'm not just saying that because they're sponsoring the show. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.